Welcome to the Softball Corner, where we discuss all things concerning adult slow pitch softball. I'm Dan Hughes. If you'd like to send me an email or drop me an MP3 voicer about the show, the email address here is thesoftballcorner@gmail.com. And please visit our website at thesoftballcorner.com. Today's show is aimed at the stark beginner. I'm going to give a couple of fielding tips, very basic fielding tips, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about bats. First of all, entire books have been written on fielding strategy, and most of them are pretty good, but a lot of people hate to read books. As a service to these folks, here are two basic rules, very basic rules, that will automatically improve your fielding dramatically. First of all, a fielding tip for infielders. The great majority of grounders that get past infielders go under the glove. You can improve your fielding percentage dramatically by simply keeping your glove touching the ground when you field a grounder. If the ball hops up suddenly just as it reaches your glove, your reflexes will bring your glove up to meet it. But don't raise your glove early, or the ball will probably skip right under it. I had a manager once whose mantra was, if it goes over your glove, it took a bad hop, and that's fine. But if it goes under your glove, it's your fault. For outfielders, how often have you leisurely trotted to catch a fly ball and your timing was off just a fraction of a second and you missed the ball? Or your foot hit a hole or bump in the turf, causing you to lose your balance just long enough to miss the ball? Rather than time your run to reach the ball just as it falls into your glove, you should race to the spot where the ball is going to fall, get there before the ball does, and then stand absolutely still, glove just above your head, to make the catch. By arriving early, you have time to set yourself and turn what could be a shaky acrobatic catch into a routine ball-falls-into-the-glove catch. And if the ball should pop out of your glove, you have a second chance to grab it before it hits the ground if you keep your glove above your head when you make the catch. And one more thing about the outfield, left field, or right field. Balls that are hit down the baselines, the first or third baseline, generally tend to curve out of bounds. So you need to overrun those balls, especially if the wind's blowing the direction that you're running. Now let's talk a little bit about bats. When I began playing softball back in the early 1980s, the word softball was almost a misnomer. The balls we used were anything but soft. The bats we hit them with were pretty primitive too. Aluminum bats made their first appearance in 1970. And by 1975, they had completely overtaken wooden bats on the softball fields. Aluminum softball bats were designed to hit the hard-as-a-rock softballs we used in those days. The bats were heavy, with thick, rigid shells. I used a 35-ounce bat, and I was a small guy. Many bigger players used much heavier bats than that. For safety's sake, today's softballs are much softer than the balls of the past. They're even nicknamed mush balls. The bats we used on the old balls are ineffective with the new balls. Unfortunately, many players who are old enough to have played before the switchover are still using those harder, heavier bats today. And many younger players swing an older bat they bought at a yard sale or the bat that Dad used back in his glory days. My cousin played softball with me in the early days, but he quit the game before the softer balls came in. Last summer, I took him to a ballpark with two bats, my old 35-ounce Adirondack Boomer and a new 27-ounce Mayhem 98. I asked him to first toss some balls up and hit them with the Boomer, the bat he had used back in the day, and then follow with the new Mayhem. I stood in the middle of center field. He picked up the Boomer, and his shots consistently fell 20 feet in front of me. Then he picked up the Mayhem and immediately complained that it was too light. I told him to hit a few anyway, and every one of his hits with that Mayhem sailed over my head. So if you have players on your team who swear by their antique log, have them perform this same test. Be sure they're tossing the balls up for themselves, because if they hit pitched balls, they can't judge the difference as easily. When they give the bats a fair head-to-head comparison, they'll see why it's time to retire old Betsy. And finally, switching to a modern bat is just step one. Step two is being sure the modern bat is a quality bat. Unfortunately, you won't find a bat that hits for distance at the big discount stores. The Easton Hammer, Cyclone, and Reflex are all sold at Walmart, for example, but they just don't hit the ball as far as do the better bats. Whenever I see a batter using any of these bats, I automatically bring my outfield in 10 or 15 feet. Here's a great place to read bat reviews written by actual users. You can bypass all the experiences you would have to go through to find a good bat simply by reading these reviews, learning what others have found out for you. The website is softballfans.com/reviews.
And so ends another exciting episode of the Softball Corner.
As always, drop us a line or a voice or MP3 note to thesoftballcorner@gmail.com. That's all one word, thesoftballcorner@gmail.com. And check out our website, thesoftballcorner.com. Until next time, I'm Dan Hughes in the Softball Corner.